Oh, it's working. It's working so well. Now, I see two little spirits. Adam and Alec are coming closer to us. I can feel them. Can you? Let's draw them in closer still with a favorite story of theirs. From my bag of delights, I've plucked two shiny candy apples. One dipped in chocolate and the other caramel. But be careful. They may look delicious, but one bite may reveal that these two treats are actually tricks. Author N.M. Brown and performers Dan and Jen Zapula, two special kiddos, and sound design by Catherine Stanley, weave for us a tale of two young friends, Alan and Ricky, who bite into more than they can chew. Guess they should have paid the parent tax.
A clown and Grim Reaper walked wickedly into the night with the rest of the neighborhood kids. Their parents, chatting amongst themselves, trailed far behind them. They had been through over half of the zigs and zags of the neighborhood, voices weary from yelling at their children to stop arguing over who got to ring the bell and to stay off people's grass. Parents with toddlers had branched off a little ways back, their little legs unable to withstand the walk in the hot, setting sun.
Are you almost ready to go home, Alan?
The clown's mother asks.
I know your feet gotta be killing you by now.
He asked permission to visit five more houses, snickering wickedly under his mask once she said yes.
Ricky, are you all right back there?
Alan's father asked the Reaper. Ricky's parents had broken off a few streets back when his little sister got too tired to continue, telling him it was all right to finish trick-or-treating with Alan and his family. The boy lifted his black and white mask up and nodded in response. Their pillowcases were more than halfway full with candy, but they were determined to get more. Alan and Ricky knew that this could very well be their last year going out on Halloween together. They were about to be 9 and 6 years old, and people around the town frowned on the older kids taking candy from the young ones by knocking on their doors and filling the bags. Now, Ricky had a little sister to take candy from if allowed, but Alan, he was an only child. He didn't have anyone to vicariously trick-or-treat through after he was deemed old enough.
Mom,
Alan asked,
can Ricky stay the night?
His mother slowed her walk to a stroll while thinking of her answer. After a moment, she slightly nodded her head, holding an index finger up by her face.
Okay, boys, but I have to look through Ricky's candy too, all right? Betty thought you might ask, so she told me in advance to do so.
Do I have to pay the parent tax?
Ricky joked through a shy smile, the mask of his costume laying limply against the back of his head. Alan's parents laughed like it was the funniest thing they had heard all month.
No, silly. Your parents get that, not us.
His mom giggled. Alan's dad came over and ruffled his clown wig.
What's that, Alan? You want us to just take double the candy out of yours? How generous!
Ha ha, Dad.
Alan quipped with a smile. They had two houses left, and they wanted to make them count. The last house had a basket sitting on their porch table. At one time, the boys were sure it was overflowing with bags of treats. But now, there were only two. They were stuffed full of what looked like homemade treats and baked candies, tightly surrounded by plastic wrap. Their parents would never let them eat these. Each boy excitedly took one and jammed it into their pillowcases before heading back to Alan's house. Alan and Ricky took two handfuls of candy each out of their bags. Ricky concealed his separated treats in his Reaper cape, and Alan's clown wig held his hidden loot perfectly. They smiled knowingly at each other as they dumped what hadn't been hidden out for Alan's parents to inspect. After they were happily satisfied, The boys took their candy to the back bedroom and dumped it out on the bed. Their makeshift candy bags contained candied apples and Rice Krispie treats, the boys' favorites. Ricky held up his apple, glistening crimson under the light in his room, and basked in the glory of all its goodness before shoving it into his mouth. Alan bit off the corner of his Rice Krispie bar, giggling at the delight of the marshmallow filling. His face turned sour in mid-chew.
Yeah.
He spat into an old shirt on his bedroom floor.
Aw, man, this tastes awful.
At that exact moment, Ricky held up the apple in horror.
Dude, this apple is wiggling.
The crackle of the candy shells skittered and popped with activity, all except for the huge bite that had been taken out, which seemed to have activated the creatures.
What?
Alan asked, wiping the corners of his mouth of spit and marshmallow goo. The color drained from his face as he inspected Ricky's apple.
It looks like there's bugs in there.
Yeah.
Ricky agreed.
Worms too.
He concluded, throwing the apple into Alan's trash can. Both boys froze, their eyes meeting at the same time before drifting to the dirtied shirt Alan spit into. They didn't need to look inside, but they did anyway. The tan and white puddle in the middle of the shirt was moving. The trash can emitted a scurried sound of trapped legs as it rocked back and forth on the floor. As Alan watched it sway, his mother's voice rang out through his brain.
Should have paid the parent tax, Alan.
The trash can fell to its side as the apple rolled towards them. To their horror, 8 furry legs now supported the weight of the fruit, seemingly giving it a mind of its own. They screamed as the apple ran towards the boys' parents' room. Moments later, 2 adult screams rang through the air, perfectly matching the boys. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.